Bill comes to share with us, let me read from Ruth 2. So if you care to turn in the Bibles to Ruth 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the woman who worked for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the woman. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the woman who worked for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the woman of Boaz. to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy word, and ask Bill now to come and share with us this morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. For those who don't know me and are perhaps visiting Bridget Dawn Baptist Church for the first time, my name is Bill Haining, and I am one of the members here. With the summer holidays upon us now and our pastor taking some well-earned summer holidays, I've been asked to preach on four different occasions over the summer months, and I've taken the opportunity to delve into one of the best love stories the Bible has to offer, the Book of Ruth. The Book of Ruth, like Esther, has no real mention of God's name, but his presence and his working are very clear in this story. Now, very handily, the Book of Ruth has four chapters, and today we are looking at chapter 2. And over the month of June, you can look forward to chapters 3 and 4. To recap, chapter 1 of Ruth starts with tragedy and death. But at the end of chapter 1, we see the main characters, Naomi and Ruth, reach a point where they are ready to pick up the pieces of their lives and start again. In those days, there was no such thing as social services and help with life if you were suddenly left destitute. So Naomi had to make some hard decisions, and she had to make them quickly. With no husband to protect and provide for her, her sons dead, and their wives in a similar situation, Naomi begins to realize that there is nothing for her in the land of Moab, where her husband had taken both her and her sons. She decides to go back to Bethlehem, her hometown, in the land that God had given to his people, the Israelites. Now, before we move on into chapter 2, I'd like to take a moment to just remind ourselves of the four lessons that we absorbed from chapter 1. The first one: there is hope even in the most devastating times in our lives. In the moments where life feels like crushing you, start with a little faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 reminds us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And looking at the Book of Ruth, we can see that even when we can't see beyond our pain to God's plan, we can have hope that our story isn't over. Second lesson was, the past is not our final destination when we put our trust in Jesus. Your past is not your final destination when you make a choice in faith. While your confidence may be wavering, God's promises do not change. The third lesson was, doing the right thing often takes great sacrifice. When our sister-in-law chose to go back, Ruth made a different decision. Ruth chose to go with her mother-in-law, showing not only how dedicated she was to Naomi, but also her dedication to the God of Israel. In that instant, she decided, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." It was a sacrifice for Ruth to refuse to return to her family. Her commitment to journey on with Naomi was a beautiful, selfless act and a stunning example of the love that Jesus has for us. The same Jesus who would be of her bloodline years later. Fourth lesson was, sharing openly about our relationship with God brings others to know Jesus. Sometimes we're afraid that sharing our questions, doubts, and disappointments will turn other people away from God, when actually sharing our relationship with God openly can bring more intimacy to our relationships and help draw other people to their own faith. So, with a bit of background from chapter 1, let's go on now and see what we can learn from chapter 2. Well, here in chapter 2, we now meet with the third main character of Ruth's story. His name is Boaz, and we read that he was brother-in-law to Naomi and owns at least one field where he has sown a crop of barley now ready to harvest. In Israel of that time, there was strong guidance from Leviticus regarding how a farmer was to set about reaping his harvest. The guidance given was that no farmer should take all of the profit from his field. Instead, God's command is that the corners of the field should be left for the poorest to come and to glean, not for profit, but enough to eat. Ruth had clearly heard about this tradition, and in verse 2 of chapter 2, she takes the initiative and offers to go out into the field of some kind farmer and glean enough grain for herself and Naomi to eat. At that time, there were few paths that a young woman could take to provide for herself, and even fewer still were reputable. Begging or prostitution were certainly out of the question for a pure, industrious young woman like Ruth. There is a famous saying that's wrongly attributed to the Bible, which says, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. But while it's not completely accurate, it's not completely inaccurate either. I believe that God does favor those who are diligent and proactive. We should be people who observe what needs to be done and then take steps to do it, even if it's not comfortable for us. Ruth was willing to work hard to feed herself and Naomi and didn't expect a handout. In addition, she shows us her humility. While some people might say, I would rather die than endure the humiliation and embarrassment of picking up other folks' leftovers, Ruth did not care overly much about her personal pride or her reputation. She was willing for others to know she was poor, instead of trying to put on airs and graces. God does not appreciate vanity and pride. We should be real about who we are. There is no shame in being poor. There is no shame in others knowing we are poor. On the other hand, there is shame in thinking that we are too good for some task. Work is a good thing, and every kind of work, no matter how small or insignificant we think it is, should be done with a good attitude in order to bring praise to God's name. Coming back to the story, you might be forgiven for thinking, gosh, how lucky for Ruth that she picks the very field that her kinsman owns to glean for food. But it is clear that God's plan for Ruth and Boaz's lives are not mere chance. It was not luck or chance that brought her to Boaz's field that day. I believe it is called providence. Providence means that God divinely arranges circumstances and events in our lives to fulfill His good purposes for us. Often He arranges these things unseen and unknown. To people who don't know God, these can be mere coincidences or luck. But to those who put their faith in God, we know that He causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. He brought Ruth to Boaz's field for her good, for Boaz's good, and for Naomi's good. Boaz is generous. He doesn't try to hoard his crops or make sure that he makes the most possible profit out of his land. Although he doesn't know Ruth personally, he is happy to share what he has with her. From Boaz, we can learn an important principle about what God expects out of a Christian businessman. God wants Christian business owners to use the resources that he has given them in a wise and a generous manner. While most secular businesses operate with the sole goal of squeezing every possible penny out of the business, that is not God's way. Consideration for others, employees or customers, should always come before pounds and pence. Ruth is very aware of the kindness Boaz shows her and thanks him sincerely. Boaz now knows more about Ruth and is impressed by her hard work and care for her mother-in-law. But I believe Boaz was most impressed by Ruth's devotion and dedication not only to Naomi, but also to the God of Israel. As a result, Boaz tells his workers to help Ruth by dropping some of the grain and not giving Ruth a telling off for picking grain from some of the collected harvest. In fact, Boaz goes even further and tells Ruth to come back exclusively to his field until the harvest is complete, offering her both work and protection. Boaz's language is both very gracious and very God-centered. He talks often about the Lord. The Lord greet you. The Lord bless you. We read in verse 12 that Boaz says to Ruth, "May the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, bless you for it." Now, I don't know how Ruth was feeling before talking with Boaz, but I'm pretty sure that she felt better about her situation afterwards. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What a person enjoys talking about reveals the secret meditations of the heart. Boaz thought a lot about the Lord and looked at everything through a spiritual lens. Do our words reveal that we are focused on the things of God or something else? Boaz is a very good encourager. While Ruth may have felt lonely, destitute, and discouraged, Boaz says many positive words, ending with the blessing. However Ruth may have felt before, it's certain she felt better afterward. We too should have the goal to always let people feel better, more encouraged, after we talk with them than before. In verse 14, we see that Boaz continues to feel protective of Ruth and invites her to sit with him and share a bite to eat. Not only that, but Boaz instructs the young men to leave Ruth alone, even as she gathers grain from places normally out of bounds to the gleaners. At the end of what must have been a very hard day, Ruth goes back to Naomi and tells her how her day went, gave Naomi the remains of the food that she hadn't been able to eat, along with an ephah, or 22 liters in our language, of grain. Naomi could tell immediately that this amount of grain from gleaning was unusual. So she asked whose field Ruth had gone to. When Ruth told Naomi that the field she worked in belonged to a man named Boaz, then Naomi explained who Boaz actually was. And she immediately gave praise to the Lord, thanking God for his continued kindness to them both. Are we like Naomi and immediately give our praise and thanks to God when we experience God's goodness? Or are we sometimes guilty of dismissing God's gifts of kindness and grace in our lives as coincidence, or perhaps even as something we expect because of some action we may have taken. I'm quite sure that even at this stage in the story, Naomi was keen to ensure that Ruth continued to expand and deepen her fledgling romance with Boaz. Even more so, because Boaz was Naomi and Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Now, we'll hear more of that phrase in chapter 3. So chapter 2 in the story sees Ruth working hard in Boaz's field until the end of the harvest season, being protected by Boaz's maidens and women workers rather than being at risk in someone else's fields. It's a great story. I don't think Mills and Boone could do much better. But there is much for us to learn here. Let's take a look at some more lessons from chapter 2. True, total, godly love, or agape, is a love that loves despite everything. Grace is undeserved love. Grace is God giving us what we certainly don't deserve. Grace is more than forgiving us for our sin, our selfishness, and constant rebellion against Him. It's more than mercy, not giving us the punishment for our selfishness and constant rebellion. It's providing for us, protecting us, and promising us eternal life when we have done nothing to deserve it. This is the love of grace, the kind of love that Boaz showed to Ruth. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is His protection, now and forevermore. He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. His provision of all that we need now and forevermore. All He has, He gives to us. And His promise of eternal life for all those who believe in Him. But the warning is there too for us. We must ensure that we remain in His field of grace. The warning is that if we wander elsewhere, try to get what we think we need from the fields of legalism or pleasure or postmodernistic views that all roads lead to heaven, then we are putting ourselves at great risk as we walk away from His protection. Do you believe that Ruth just happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz? I don't think this was any coincidence. I don't think it was luck. I do believe in God incidents. Here she was, a young woman who had chosen to follow Naomi and the God of Israel. A young woman who was now showing that she was willing to do what it takes to live in this strange new land. And she just happened to come to Boaz's field? I really don't think so. This has the hand of God written all over it. How about you? Did you just happen to find God? Again, I don't think so. I know that God draws us to Him. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or her." That's in John 6, verse 44. But of course, we as Christians have our part to play. In the same way that Boaz talked freely of his Lord, so must we. Jesus was born in the likeness of man. We read that in Philippians 2. And is therefore our blood relative, who came to pay the price for redeeming us through His death on the cross. We're going to see in the next chapter what this actually looked like for Ruth. But let us recognize right now that this is the ultimate expression of grace. Jesus has three things that were necessary to be our Redeemer. He has the right to redeem us. He is the Son of God. He has the ability to redeem us. He came from heaven to earth for this very purpose. And He has the willingness to redeem us, which He showed through His death on the cross. So if we read this story and think, I need to be more like Boaz, we've missed the point. He is a good man, and we ought to emulate his actions. But we should be thinking more like Ruth, in that spiritually we're all homeless, hopeless, and hungry. And just as Boaz provided what Ruth needed but did not deserve, even so the Lord comes to us and opens the door of heaven. Whatever we need, we find in Christ, who is the greater Boaz. Amen.